Bem jogado por Simão. A passar por dois adversários. Simão a tentar oferecer o golo a Figo. E a bola é gol! O golo da Figo!
Rui Costa vai, acreditou. Vai tirar para o golo. Atira, golo! 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 Golo!
And welcome into episode 11 of the Seleção Podcast. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you so much for joining us and for coming back. We had a bit of a break here following the World Cup and following our huge interview with Tom Kundert about a little bit more than a month ago, almost 2 months ago. And again, we want to thank Tom for his time. We got a great response from that interview. And we greatly appreciate you guys checking that out. And again, thank you for Tom's time on that interview. So, we've been on a bit of a break, but now we are back at it because we got some football to talk about as the Seleção will be in action beginning as you're listening to this now. We are posting this on Wednesday morning. Tomorrow, Thursday, September the 6th, the Seleção will be taking on the World Cup runner-ups in Croatia in a friendly, and then the UEFA Nations League, the inaugural UEFA Nations League, that begins on Monday the 10th for the Seleção, and in Portugal's group they will take on Italy. That game is going to be on Monday, September the 10th. So we do have some news and do have some games to talk about, which is good, and that's what this is. What this podcast is for is to get you guys informed and to hear from you guys on our various outlets on social media. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Seleção Pod, also on Instagram at Seleção Pod, and on Facebook.com/SeleçãoPod. And of course, you can always email the show SeleçãoPod@gmail.com. So, what I'm going to just give you a quick little recap of what's kind of been going on before we get to our guest today. His name is Eric Vieira. He's from down south. He hosts a couple of podcasts in the LA area, Guys in Shorts LA and the Corner of the Galaxy podcast. Huge soccer fan and someone that we're really looking forward to speaking with, and we had a chance to sit down with him and get his thoughts on the summer that was for Portugal, some of the transfers from the team that did go to Russia, the 23-man roster that was called for the friendly and for the Nations League games, and just some other thoughts. Eric is a real funny guy and real insightful in the game of football. So we're really looking forward to having him on and having his interview play for you here in just a few moments. But as I mentioned, you know, we did have some news following the World Cup. We covered a little bit of it with Tom, as we all know. Ronaldo now not a Real Madrid player. He is now in Italy applying his trade for Juventus. But we also had, I believe, it was 8 players total, including him, change teams or making some big moves or non-moves. In one case, we had, you know, Rui Patrício and João Moutinho. They're in Wolverhampton now. André Silva got loaned out to Sevilla. William Carvalho is at Betis. Ricardo Pereira, prior to the World Cup, he's over at Leicester City now. Gonçalo Guedes made his move permanently to Valencia right before the transfer deadline. And Bruno Fernandes, who we all thought was leaving following the whole debacle with Sporting this past summer, he actually stays in Sporting. So those are some of the moves that have taken place either right before, during, or after the World Cup. But those are the main fixtures there that have made some noise transfer wise since we've last spoken. Also, how about let's give a shout out to, and I know this is maybe a month overdue here, but we did do it on our social media. But a huge shout out to our under 19s for winning the Euro. Just a tremendous accomplishment. LU Souza just doing a great job. You know, he now has two titles under his belt, the under 17 Euro, and now the most recent under 19 Euro. He has been appointed as Portugal's under 20 manager, who will be taking their talents to the under 20 World Cup in Poland next year. So you know, just a lot of orgul, a lot of pride for this coach and what he's been able to do with this with the youth level here with the Seleção. And I would not be shocked in the least as these players get older and move up the ranks in terms of the levels of play when they finally get to the senior level. I would not be surprised to see LU Souza at the helm there as well. But just props to them and congratulations to them as they took the under 19 Euro while we were gone. So as I mentioned about the friendly and the Nations League, Fernan Sunch did announce his 23-man roster. A mix of veterans, a mix of guys who have not been capped, and a mix of guys who are definitely in their prime age-wise, who just have not been able to break the glass ceiling or grab the brass ring, whatever analogy you want to use. We'll talk about or we'll list those guys for you during the interview with Eric later on. But just some of the highlights for me is the return of Renat Sanch, still just 21 years of age. But the midfield is a place for that has a lot of excitement in my opinion with Sanch. Ruben Neves, he gets a return to the Seleção after missing out on the World Cup. Getson Fernandes, 19-year-old from Benfica, and also Sergio Oliveira. These are two guys who are quality players. One, as I mentioned, in Fernandes, only 19 years old, and then Sergio Oliveira at 26, still uncapped, but just a very solid player. And you know, we could see him get his first cap in either the friendly or in the game against Italy. And then up front, you have Ronnie Lopes, who gets an opportunity here to shine, along with a guy like Bruma, and these guys still so very young, 23. Bruma's 23, Ronnie Lopes only 22. Really looking forward to seeing them hopefully shine a little bit with the national team in these two games. And in terms of defense, we got Pedro Mendes, who's 27, no caps, but he gets an opportunity. We may see Ruben Dias, in the middle with someone like with Pep, who got called up, but also a guy like Luiz Neto, who got called up, who's 30, only has 18 caps, hasn't been able to do much while wearing the shirt of the Seleção. But this could be the opportunity here, as I don't know if you guys have heard, But the Seleção is in dire need of some central defending, and maybe these guys are the next crop here to take care of or to take the place of guys like Pep or José Font and Bruno Alves. So we'll go into the roster and some of the and the entire roster, I should say, in our interview with Eric Vieira. So that is a bit of what's been going on and what is. What has come out in the last few weeks, in the last month and a half or so since our last episode. I really want to thank all of you guys for the continued support. The one thing I feared about taking a little bit of a hiatus was that our followers and our followers on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram would take a dip because we no longer have content coming out, or we took a break from having content coming out. And not only have we not had a dip at all, we actually gained a few more followers along the way. So I just can't thank you guys enough for your continued support of this podcast. and of our social media. It really means the world to have you guys along with me during this podcast, and I hope to be churning these out for many years to come. After this episode, well, obviously we have the Croatia and the Italian the Italy games. I'll definitely be back with a recap of those, and whenever I can find maybe like some special episodes to kind of get in. Maybe it's a story, a story about, either a player in a league, a Portuguese player in a league who's tearing it up, or God, you could probably always do a Wolverhampton podcast, but just anything that tickles my fancy, I definitely would want to get that out to you guys as soon as possible, so you guys can enjoy and get get some more information and get some more Slesong in your ears. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and go to this episode's interview, Eric Vieira of Guys in Shorts LA and the Corner of the Galaxy podcast. All right, guys. So we've played a little catch up here following the couple of months off of the podcast in terms of World Cup action and the Slesong, and obviously we had Tom Kundert on our very last episode about a month back, but it's back to the grind, and it's back to the field, and we couldn't be happier than having our friend from down in Southern California, Eric Vieira, joining us on this episode of the Slesong podcast. You can follow Eric many different ways here. You can follow Eric on Twitter at GIS Hammer, and we'll ask him about that moniker very soon here. He's also part of two podcasts down in L.A. One is Guys in Shorts L.A. You can follow them at Guys in Shorts L.A. And he is also one of the hosts of the Galaxy podcast covering the L.A. Galaxy for the MLS. And that is you can follow them there at Galaxy Podcast. Eric, a lot of Twitter accounts, a lot of irons in the fire, buddy. But we appreciate you coming on, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, Forza. I'm happy to be here, and I didn't realize I had that many plugs until you actually had to say them out loud. It's pretty interesting there.
Yeah, so, now again, you kind of figure now you know how busy you are.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't realize. I mean, my wife tells me how busy I am, but I guess I get it now. I understand where she's coming from. So I appreciate you having me on. You were mentioning you had Tom Kundert on before. You have Eric Krakauer, so kind of come back down to earth, you get a Los Angeles area podcast host with 100 things to plug. So I'm glad to be that man who brings you back down to earth.
Well, buddy, I mean, LA is the number two media market in the country, so I mean, I wouldn't sell yourself too short there. So we still got to keep it somewhat relative in the world of media. But I really appreciate you coming on, Eric. And as I mentioned earlier in the episode, We're gonna talk about the UEFA Nations League, whatever. So I've read about it. I still don't know what it is, but I'm excited about it because the games sort of count. You figured it out. Good.
Yeah,
tell me.
They have like some how-to videos. I think I figured it out. It's basically it's an alternative pathway to get to the Euros. That's how I read it. You're still gonna have your Euro, qualifiers, and this is it's the double elimination, so you can a double secret probation, whatever you want to call it. So it's just another competition to keep things spicy, a little extra molletta for the Euro qualifying to get us there.
I look at it. Well, I mean, now that you've kind of broken it down, it's almost like if you're a fan of The Price is Right, when Bob Barker used to play the game Hole in One, and then the folks would miss the putt, and then he'd hit that button. And then he says, "Hole in one or hole in two." That's right. You're a fan of good TV game shows, my man. So
so homesick my fair share of times. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then the summer, forget about it. I mean, it's Price is Right all day, every day. But but Eric, let's start off with just getting a little bit of for those of us listening here that don't know who Eric Vieira from Artesia, California is. Give us a little background about you and all the all those podcasts and all the stuff that you do media wise, covering the game of soccer.
Perfect. I hope you have a couple hours to break this down.
I do. My kids are asleep. I got enough time.
Done deal. So basically, I've grown up in Southern California my whole life. As I know, you've had previous guests on who've kind of from the area, Artesia area, large
population. But so far, you're already the best one, and I'll say it to their face.
Yeah, of course. You know, you need, I was actually surprised, you know, to hear, you know, Michael Teixeira, who I'm good friends with, Jimmy Inge, who's a guy who I've been friends with my whole life. I was actually shocked that, you know, I don't know how we haven't, you know, crossed paths in one way or another, considering all the same circles we seem to run in. But, you know, you had the test out with those first two guests. You feel, okay, let me call in the pro. Let's get it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get the real guy in here.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, grew up in Artesia. My parents, you know, came from Seda, who's a source, and they've, you know, grown up here my whole life, and they've raised me. I've been fortunate to grow up in the Portuguese community, played with the, you know, the youth soccer club, played in the marching band. So, you know, being Portuguese is a big part of my upbringing and who I am, and just being fortunate enough to grow up with people who have kind of the same family values, same, you know, interests, soccer. Nosso Sasong, that's something that's really been, you know, a blessing, you know, the run that we've been on, you know, probably since, you know, 2000, if you count the Euro 2000.
Sure.
And what that, how that's grown in our Portuguese community, you know, the watch parties at our Portuguese hall in Artesia, something that started small. I think 2004, it really started to blow up. And then by the World Cup in 2006, it was the place to be. If you wanted to watch a Portugal soccer game, a match for Nossa Sasong, you needed to be at the Portuguese Hall if you were somewhere near Southern California. And there are actually people who have driven there, you know, from the Central Valley just to come to watch a game. So that kind of tells you about our people down here and how we like to do it. And we kind of go big when it comes to all things Portuguese.
Awesome. And, awesome. Sorry, Eric, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no, go for it.
One question I did have, you said that you played, for the Artesia team down south, and also you played in the marching band. Is it hard to do both at the same time?
It is. It actually, I didn't do the two consecutively. So it was, you know, I did soccer at one point when I was, you know, younger. Then I kind of focused on the marching band mostly, and then I went back, played in kind of the over 30 squad to, you know, to get my legs back in shape.
Never the band uniform on the field.
Oh, wow! You're going full on. No, I haven't done that.
Okay.
Although I think I like where you're going with that. That'd be a fun game. We got to try that out at some.
Well,
point.
I know how busy things can get down there, and I mean there's a lot of people with a lot of a lot of busy schedules.
Two birds with one stone. I like it.
Yeah, you got to run out there. You got to run out there on the field after playing at a festa down in, I don't know, maybe in Paramount, and you got a game right off of 183rd. You got to make sure you get there. So, but go ahead and continue. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I needed to get my comedy joke in because it is all about me.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I needed the break there with you know, the next two plugs that I'm going to make for my other podcast.
Beautiful.
I needed a breathing break. So to give some background on our podcast, so it started a long time ago in a galaxy far away, actually.
Look at this guy.
it was at a Star Wars The Force Awakens premiere opening night with a few buddies of mine, and we, you know, as we get together, we started arguing about sports and making fun of each other, and there was a person in front of us in line who said, you know, I want to listen to you guys argue on my drive home. That'd be hilarious. And so that kind of is something that clicked with a friend of mine, Jeff Wilson, who's actually our host and our lead producer there. And so he had the bright idea. He said, if that guy in line wanted to listen to us, then I'm sure, you know, the millions and millions of people out on the internet would want to listen to us. So we kind of started our own podcast.
And millions!
So you know, that's kind of the basis of where it started from. We all have our own teams that we like. You know, half of us are Dodgers fans, the other half are Angels fans, some are Rams fans, some don't like football at all. I like soccer, no one else likes soccer. So it's kind of gives for some fun banter, and we bring a Los Angeles sports perspective, and that's kind of where the name comes from as well, Guys in Shorts. You could always find us in our shorts, in our flip-flops, you know, talking sports and making fun of each other. So that's how the podcast started about, you know, 2.5 years ago, and been doing that ever since. It's allowed me some cool opportunities. We've interviewed some fun guests, you know, Eddie Lewis from the U.S. men's national team, Matt Money Smith, who's a local radio host who, you know, is really sharp. Really sharp with his sports. So he was a great guest to have on. So it's just kind of a fun ride that I've been on with Guys in Shorts. And that led to another opportunity with the Corner of the Galaxy podcast, who's the main host there is Josh Gessman. He's the godfather of MLS podcasting. He's been doing that Galaxy podcast for about 10 years. And when GIS started, Guys in Shorts started, he was one of the first people who I reached out to have a guest because, you know, I wanted to kind of spread the gospel of soccer to the average fan. And our love for the Galaxy kind of shone through. And, you know, we could talk Galaxy all day long as opposed to the 5-minute time limit that they want to give me over at Guys in Shorts. So he asked me to join his team and co-host, you know, the show on a kind of a bi-monthly basis. They do live streaming on Thursday nights. And it's just been a lot of fun to be able to talk soccer and preach the gospel of Major League Soccer to the masses.
Excellent, man. We are talking with Eric Vieira here on the Celeste Song podcast. You can follow Eric on Twitter at GIS Hammer. Also his two podcasts at Guys in Shorts LA and at Galaxy Podcast. Eric Hammer. Why not GIS Eric? Why are you GIS Hammer?
The Hammer. It's kind of a funny story. A lot of the guys who I do the Guys in Shorts sports podcast with, we've known each other for years. We've worked together, working parks and recreation. And there was a bowling evening, and we went out for kind of a bowling event. And I kind of got fed up that I was losing, and I just started launching the ball, you know, down the lane. And one of my friends kind of said, you know, it's the Portuguese Hammer. Watch out for the Portuguese Hammer. And it kind of stuck. And no one really calls me that. I don't call myself that. But, you know, Jeff Wilson on our very first episode, when he introduced me, said, and Eric, the Portuguese Hammer Vieira. And it's just kind of gone with it. So he caught me by surprise with that one. And now people call me the Hammer. I've been spotted in public and people say, are you the Hammer? And it's a very awkward conversation to have with my wife. But so that's kind of fun. It's kind of a fun little moniker. I'm going to lean instead of, you know, fighting it. I figured I'd lean into it.
What was her first reaction when someone called you the Hammer in public?
it was, she kind of gave me a strange look, like, you know, why does this person call you that? Why? I mean, she understands, she knows I do the podcast. She knows that's my nickname, but I think it just caught her off guard. I think one of the funniest moments with this happened is I actually had a player who plays for the Los Angeles Galaxy, his grandmother actually came up to me and I see this, you know, older woman kind of staring at me at a Galaxy game. And, you know, I kind of look her direction. She says, excuse me, are you the Hammer? And I said, well, yes, I am. And so that was kind of a funny moment. You know, unfortunately, I can't disclose whose grandmother that was, but the fact that she listened to the show and cares enough about her grandson to, you know, be in on what's going on. That was probably one of the highlights of, my short podcasting career.
Listen, Kobe Jones's Aval is is such a sweet lady, and I'm so glad. I can't believe you got an Aval to call you the
it's
Hammer.
Fantastic!
Oh my god, unbelievable. Okay, well let's get to this Celeste Song here, Eric. As you're listening to the episode 11 here of the Celeste Song podcast, I am your host, Danny Pinto. You know, we're about 2 months out from the World Cup, and 2 months from the what I think we all thought was a short-lived World Cup run for the Celeste Song this summer at the hands of Uruguay in the knockout stages of the round of 16. Eric, what have you been kind of doing the last 2 months to kind of fill your Celeste Song soccer tank here?
Well, fortunately for me, you know, the Major League Soccer season is kind of right in the middle of summer, so I just kind of marched on with the Los Angeles Galaxy. So they've kept me entertained. They have, you know, Zlatan Ibrahimovic doing Zlatan things.
I'm not familiar with him.
he's you might have heard of him. He's, you know, he I think he knows your friend Cristiano Ronaldo over there.
Oh.
So so that's kind of filled my soccer cup in that regard, and obviously with all the European leagues starting most recently, and, you know, I've been able to fill the void, although, you know, very recently, the Galaxy have taken a bit of a dive, you know, with their recent form. But that's kind of what I've been doing since Portugal's disappointing World Cup performance. I would agree that it was a bit of a letdown. I think we had our hopes up after 2016 and what we were able to do there. So I would definitely mirror what you're saying and saying that I was definitely disappointed and in a slight depression after that elimination game.
What were your thoughts initially when this last song was knocked out in? Have those thoughts changed, or have they stayed the same about 2 months after?
I think it stayed about the same. I think at the time, I felt like Ronaldo, he left it all out there. I think he did everything that he could. So whatever critics there were of him, if there were any left who still love Arsenal song and are not all the way in, I mean, he showed, he left it all on the field. So as far as his performance, I was happy with that. As far as disappointments, you know, Rafael Guerreiro, I know you've talked about it. You know, he was a bit of a letdown, sure. You know, after having, a stellar 2016 tournament in the Euros, and part of it may have been to injury and not being in form. So you don't want to bash the guy completely. You don't want to say that he's not a good player, but the results on the field just weren't there. Gonçalo Guedes was another guy who let me down. There was a lot of hype around him coming into the tournament. But I was an Andre Silva guy. I believe you need to dance with the person who brought you. He was the one who was scoring and qualifying. And granted, he didn't have the best season with AC Milan, and that's probably an understatement. But I think he proved what he could do on a big stage. And to not see him get those starts and get those minutes, I was disappointed that he wasn't able to see the field more. And Guedes just looked like someone who the spotlight was a little too big for him at the time. So, seeing Bernard Silva play at the 10, that was something that, you know, I thought was great as well, but a little bit too late. And so the further you get removed, it seems like those immediate takeaways seem to have stuck. So those are my thoughts on where we've been. But, you know, we're also looking back. See, the more I talk about it, the more I get fired up, and these memories keep jogging back.
And the Band-Aid is getting ripped off here.
And then the other part is not winning the group. I mean, the chance was there. The Spain side of the bracket, you know, that was the side of the bracket we wanted to be on. And credit to Uruguay, but Uruguay was not heads and tails a better team.
No.
They just, you know, they had their clinical finishers, and that shows when you squander your chances and you have people who know how to finish, that's the difference. But if we would have gotten against a Russia and then maybe a Croatia and the way the ball bounces, you know, things, we could be having a much different conversation now had they handled their business against, you know, Iran or Morocco in those situations.
You know, we mentioned Jimmy earlier in the podcast, and he had a point leading up to the World Cup that there seemed to be a lack of urgency, I think, and I'm paraphrasing here, heading into the World Cup. And I thought about that a lot during the World Cup, and then when Uruguay beat the Selecao, beat us, I felt like, meh. Just wasn't our year. I mean, it obviously helped that we won in 2016. It obviously helped having Ronaldo get the proverbial monkey off his back and getting that national team title under his belt with Euro 2016. But you know, yeah, you're disappointed. But I didn't feel as you know, for lack of a better term, depressed. Mm-hmm. Following the World Cup as I did in previous iterations of these competitions, I don't know if you share that same sentiment, but I thought a lot about what Jimmy said. I'm like, yeah, it just kind of was, eh.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because you know, at the end of the day, there's 32 teams and only one team could win it, so there are 31 people who are going to walk, 31 nations of fans who are going to walk away disappointed. And I didn't feel like what Portugal put on the field, it's not like we were robbed. It's not like, you know, I was going to say it's not like referees played a major factor, but referees did play a little bit of a factor.
Oh, yeah, you know? They did. It's the only time I cursed on this podcast.
But so that's part of it. But I walk away with the same feeling. I didn't walk away with that heartbreak. To me, I think the worst heartbreak I've had when it comes to Nasser Sassong was the 2004. You know,
of
to
course.
Me, that was the heart being ripped out of your chest. So anything since then, the losses, you kind of have learned to manage with that being the rock bottom. And then obviously winning the Euro helps. I think that may be why the team, you know, the team had been to the summit. Fernando Santos has been there. Ronaldo's won it all. So maybe there wasn't that urgency there. And you definitely saw it with the Uruguay game, because it seemed like they didn't realize until there were, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes left in the game that they had their lives to play for. And then we saw a really sharp Portugal team, you know, barring, you know, of course, the clinical finishing. But we saw them doing everything right. And it's like, well, where was this team the first two games? And that's something that if we are going to, you know, have our gripes with the Nasser Sassong, is they do seem to play to their competition. You know, they'll go 3-3 against Spain. but they'll also go 1-1 against Azerbaijan, you know? So,
sure.
So yeah, we'd like to see that, you know, put it away when they need to. But I didn't walk away feeling heartbroken like I had in previous tournaments.
We're talking with Eric Vieira here on the Slesson podcast. We are on episode 11. Thank you guys very much for joining us. Is a little bit of a hiatus after the World Cup and after our interview with Tom, but we're super glad to be back and to talk about Slesson soccer once again. Eric, let's talk about you talked about the World Cup, but I'm looking at my notes here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 players from that team had major, and we'll go with major transfer news, for lack of a better term here, since the summer or during the World Cup. Obviously, Ronaldo gets the headlines here, his big huge move to Juventus. But Rui Patrice and João Moutinho, they are now applying their trade at Wolverhampton. It seems like, you know, half of Portugal is playing for.
This is going to become a Wolverhampton podcast at some point. That's going to be the new Slesson.
It very well might be. And when I say half of Portugal, I don't mean half of the Slesson. I literally mean half of the nation, I think, plays for Wolverhampton now. We saw Andre Silva. He's on loan now from AC Milan to Sevilla. William Carvalho, he also goes to La Liga. He goes to Real Betis. That one was the strangest one, I think, of the summer for me. Just not that he left, but where he went to. But Ricard Pereira, he signed before the World Cup. He's at Leicester City now. Bruno Fernandes, I think the biggest surprise is that he's back with Sporting and didn't go anywhere. Yes. And then Gonçalo Guedes made his move to Valencia permanent after being there on loan last season. Of those moves, which one? And I guess Ronaldo's the given here. Obviously, it's exciting for him to leave here, but of the rest of those, which of those moves do you think benefits the player more and benefits the Slesson more?
So I've got a couple here. You know, I mentioned earlier I kind of tipped my hand that I'm an Andre Silva guy. And so I think his move to Sevilla to get him, you know, to get that AC Milan stink off of him, I think he had a terrible experience with his time in Italy. So I think for him to go and get a fresh start and to play for a team where he's going to be able to get regular minutes and he's going to be able to score some goals. He's 3 games into the season and he already has more goals, you know, for Sevilla than he had with AC Milan during his time there. So I think that's a good sign for him, and that's going to be good for Anas Sasong to see him scoring some goals. So to me, I think that's probably one of the most important ones. Another one that you didn't mention, but I'll throw it out there It's because he wasn't part of the World Cup squad, was Renato Sanches. I think him going back to Bayern and training with that team, he's not going to crack the starting lineup, but staying in and working with those top class players and training with them every day, I think that's going to help him get in form and be the player who we fell in love with in 2016, get him back on that track so he can make some magic for us for Anas Sasong.
To add to that, Eric, not to interrupt you, but he was added to Bayern's Champions League squad, which I think speaks volumes, hopefully, of what he's been doing during the summer and what they still think of him going forward.
Exactly, and that's the other thing to remember is he's still so young. He's 20, 21 years old. And so if he can continue to develop and he find a spot in line behind all of those monsters they have in the midfield at Bayern, I think that's a great thing because he wasn't going to get that training with Swansea City every day.
Let's see. So the Premier League players for me, Rui Patrice and João Moutinho, obviously they're the easiest, I think, to follow simply because the States here, they especially with NBC Sports,
they've done such. Fantastic.
I mean, it's unbelievable, and I'm glad that ESPN also has stepped up their game. Sort of. I was a little disappointed that they're using the ESPN Plus and not bringing some games on to a few of the four letter networks channels. But obviously excited to see Rui Patrice. Excited to see João Moutinho as well. But I scratch my head thinking about why William Carvalho settled on Betis. I have not seen him play yet this season, so I can't speak on how he's doing. But you know, it had been talked about so long that he was definitely moving. But you heard names like Everton and West Ham, and you heard maybe moves
Tottenham for a while.
Oh God, I would have loved it, but
yeah,
that's for another podcast. But I mean, it just seemed a little bit confusing as to his move to that club. But I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think the most surprising thing is that you have Bruno Fernandes and he's still a member of Sporting,
sticking it out. Yeah,
so
that is surprising.
I mean, they doubled his salary, so that helps. But after all the turmoil, you know, there was a lot of question marks whether he was going to stay or go. But I think the one that surprised me the most in terms of where the player ended up from actually transferring was definitely Carvalho going to Real Betis.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you said settling for Betis, because for whatever reason, you know, William has this perception that, you know, he's not setting the world on fire. But looking back to the World Cup, I thought he was one of our most consistent performers. You knew what you were going to get.
Agreed.
Out of him. So people either didn't see that, and maybe that's why his stock dropped. But, you know, at a team like Betis, he's going to be able to get his minutes and have an impact on that team. So you can spin it in a positive way if you wanted to.
We're talking with Eric Vieira here on the Slisson podcast, episode number 11. You can follow Eric at GIS Hammer on Twitter. So we do have a friendly, and we do have a UEFA Nations League number two putt, Price is Right league.
So or obviously, hole in two.
Yeah, hole in two. That's what we're looking for. Thursday, we'll be dropping this. We'll be dropping this episode Wednesday morning. But Thursday, September 6th, is a friendly against the World Cup runner-ups in Croatia, and then I believe that game is in Portugal. And then on the 10th, September 10th, Monday, September 10th, they'll be taking on Italy in their first group game in the UEFA Nations League coming up. I think overall, whenever you can get competitive matches instead of exhibition matches, I think that definitely helps the fan and the interest in these games. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And what it reminds me of is the Confederations Cup. That's something maybe two or three cycles ago that wasn't looked at as something serious. But now that's a major tournament. It's a FIFA tournament. It's you know, it's kind of a sanctioned event. And the teams that go there want to win. You know, you can't tell me that when Portugal played Chile or when Germany, you know, was playing, you know, Brazil, that they didn't want to knock those teams out. And even though it was just, you know, if you were going to say just a Confederations Cup, but whenever there's an official competition, these are professional athletes. They want to compete. So you UEFA Nations League putt in two, whatever you want to call it. If it's going to up the competitiveness, and that's what these players need. You know, especially when you're bringing in youngsters, you want to expose them to as many competitive matches as you can.
Well, let's look over at the roster that Fran Sunchet announced this past Friday. There's a lot of experience. There is a lot of youth. There is a lot of guys who are in their prime that haven't got a lot of chances so far. So it's a nice hodgepodge of you know, kind of what we're looking for as the next crop here heading into 2020. But for the keepers, we have Rui Patrice and Bet as the holdovers. But Claudio Hums, he is uncapped. He's currently playing keeper at Tondela in the Portuguese league. So, you know, you never know. You could see him get a shot, maybe in a friendly against Croatia. The defenders, Pep, Cedric, Rafael Guerreiro, João Cancelo, Mario Rui, Ruben Dias, and then you have guys like Pedro Mendes, who's 27, but is uncapped. He's playing in Montpellier, in France. And then you have a guy like Louis Genette, who has 18 caps, but just has not done much while wearing a Portugal shirt. He gets another opportunity as well. In the midfield, we talked about William Carvalho. I like seeing Renato Sanches get another opportunity. Again, just 21 years of age. Pizzi, he's 28, but he only has 9 caps, so he gets the call-up. Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Neves, he gets the call-up, which is very exciting. And then you have two guys who, again, one is in his prime in Sergio Oliveira, playing at Porto, and then Getson Fernandes from Benfica, who is just 19 years old, but having a great season so far in the early stages. And then with the forwards, you have the old man of this group, who is Bernard Silva at 24, and the most seasoned with 29 caps. But you have Bernard Silva, Andres Silva, Gelson Martins, Gonçalo Guedes, and then a guy who seems like his career ended with the Celeste Song years ago, just because we've been hearing about him for so long, in Bruma. He's 23 years old. And then, of course, the guy who a lot of people thought should have been on the team this summer, in Ronnie Lopp. He has one cap, but he's just been playing gangbusters in Monaco. I know that's a lot of, I mean, it's 23 names. I could have, I guess,
broken. You passed.
Yeah, I can read. I guess I could have broken that down by position, but and then talk about it that way. But let's go with position, I guess. Or no, let's not do position. Of those names, Eric, which guys are you happy to see get the call up?
To me, the two that stand out are Ruben Neves and Ronnie Lopes. With the World Cup roster when that was released, those were the two probably screams that were the loudest on omissions from the roster. I wasn't too upset at it because they were young players and they weren't necessarily the most capped. So, you know, you can understand wanting to reward João Moutinho and Quaresma and players like that. You know, I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan, so I got to see the Kobe retirement tour. So I'm not opposed to rewarding a guy who's past his prime. So I understood those moves, but those are the names who you felt like they definitely could have had a spot in that World Cup roster. So to see them called back in, for the friendly and UEFA Nations League, I think this is a good thing to get them in the squad, and let's see what they can do on the big stage.
Anybody that you were surprised that was not called up to the given the way that the roster is built, with some experience, some youth, and then some guys who are just trying to make their way onto the Slissong?
To me, I'm not really surprised. I mean, I think maybe some names. The one on defense. Someone like José Font, being left off, but Pep being included. I think if you're going to have a mix of youth and experience, Pep is definitely on the older end of the spectrum. And I don't think he's not a name that I think we're going to be saying a lot in 2020 and 2022. He had a great World Cup, and who knows, what kind of special vitamins he's taking that's going to keep his longevity around. But that was probably a surprise to me, is when you look at that defense, maybe not having, those central defenders, those guys who you've always relied on, but bring one of them and not the other. That was probably surprising to me.
And then of these two upcoming games, and there's going to be, there'll be another game in October, another game in November, I believe, or two games in November. But with this friendly against Croatia, and then the first game of the Nations League against Italy, what are you looking for from this squad? I mean, because it's almost an experimental squad, and I don't mean that in any kind of degrading way, but what are you initially looking at with these 23 that were called up by Fernand Santos?
To me, I think it's going to be, to not sound too cliche, but kind of a tale of two games, with the Croatia game that's, again, the World Cup runner up, so you're getting a talented squad that you're going to be playing against. But I think that's where you're going to see some of the untested players probably get either starts or considerable playing time, to kind of see, test them out and see what they've gotten. I think by the Italy game, I think that's where you'll see maybe the more experienced players. That's where you're going to see your capped players. Your more consistent lineup, your more top-heavy lineup, I think, is going to be against Italy, because it is a competitive match. So that's why I really like this format, because you bring in the same squad, but with two different games, one of them being friendly, one of them being competitive, you get to kind of tinker a little bit, and you have the freedom to do so because of the matches are so close together.
Well, Eric, I can't thank you enough, man, for taking the time out. I know it's a quote-unquote school night when we're doing these things during our weeknights here, but I really, really appreciate you coming on, and I'm really happy to finally get you on the podcast. You remember, you can follow Eric here a number of ways in all his ventures. You can follow him on Twitter at GISHammer. Follow his podcast, Guys in Shorts LA, at Guys in Shorts LA, and Corner of the Galaxy podcast at Galaxy Podcast. Eric, what's coming up on those shows? Is there anything that you guys are promoting or anything that you'd like to give a little tease about?
Well, the big thing for guys in shorts is that football season is starting. So with the LA Rams basically buying all the best players in the league, that's going to be a lot of fun talking about them this upcoming season. So that's going to kind of be the big topic of discussion. And then the Lakers also picked up a guy, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's LeBron James.
Rajon Rondo, yes.
Yeah, so I heard he's supposed to be pretty good. So that's going to be a lot of fun, having LeBron in LA. And then as far as Galaxy goes, I mentioned they've dug themselves a hole. So if you love listening to people really, crap all over a team that's not doing so well, Galaxy Podcast is going to be your way to go. But before I go, I also just wanted to give credit to you, Danny, for an excellent show that you're putting forward. I've been listening since episode one. I was a little bit heartbroken, even though you don't know me, that Michael Teixeira and Jimmy Inge got on before me. But, you didn't know me. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, but as you mentioned, man, now the pro is here. So I learned my lesson.
But I just want to say, you're creating a podcast for a voice for the voiceless. If I don't want to get too dramatic here,
I am CM Punk.
There's a lot of Tugush here. There are a lot of Portuguese Americans, some Luso Americans who we love a nossa sasong, but we're not necessarily connected to RTP and the Portuguese language. An Abala network, we can't necessarily go all in on that. So to have an English speaking voice with a Portuguese background to do what you're doing, you're really doing an excellent job, and I'm very proud of you, and I'll continue to listen moving forward.
Well, I appreciate that, buddy, and I appreciate the support from day one, and behind the scenes, Eric's been a guy that I've contacted about the technical side of the podcast game, and I have a background in radio, and I have a background in previous podcasts, but I'm trying not to do a tit for tat blowing smoke here thing, but if you guys want to hear like high quality, just in terms like if you're an audiophile like I am, what Eric's doing with both of his podcasts is really, really good stuff, and I appreciate all the help and all the advice in terms of that side. And yeah, man, the whole thing about this podcast is I wanted it to be something for guys like you and me and Jimmy and Michael and my buddies when we did the World Cup preview and everybody listening out in the podcast world, man, it's hard to get the coverage that we that we would like when the team is, some 6,000-7,000 miles away. And sometimes, like you're saying with Abala and Huecord and Ujog, I'll read it and I'll get it, but I won't get it.
I hear you.
All this stuff, if I'm reading stuff correctly, apparently Benfica is in deep trouble with the law or with taxes. I don't know. But
what else is new?
Yeah, well, easy. But I mean, it's just I wanted to do this thing 2 years ago before the Euro, and it didn't work out at that time. But I was like, you know what? If I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this now. And the response has been just unbelievable. And it's a credit to everybody who's listening, and obviously a credit to the team that we follow and we love, and just it's a lot of fun. I wouldn't be doing it if it's not fun. And honestly, getting to connect with people, not only Tom Kundert and Eric Krakauer, who are major deals in this industry, but to get my godson Michael on, whose opinion I respect, and to get Jimmy, whose opinion I respect, and yours as well. I mean, it's a voice for the voiceless. Sure, I'll take it. But it's it's finding those common voices like yours and theirs to get the conversation going. And I mean, I never thought this thing would get to where it is. And it's by no means huge, but I mean, we got people listening in England, and we got people listening in Portugal and in Canada, and that's what's cool about it. It's the connection. I mean, you've been doing this stuff for a while now. There's this medium is a connection that is very hard to duplicate. And when you get it, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And that's, if there's one thing, our people do well is we support one another. And I think that goes with Wolverhampton being the new Selesong. Whenever there's another Tuga involved, we're going to support it. So definitely on board with that.
Well, I'm gonna call you out on that right now, because I don't think are you wearing any Andre Horta jerseys anytime soon?
Of course not.
Okay, man. You see, guys, he turned on them. Turned on those LAFC guys really quick. Turned on them quick.
They're not my team.
I understand, buddy. Well, hey, again, appreciate your time, man, and can't wait to have you back on again. And Forza, Eric.
All right, Forza. Likewise.
Man, was Eric great or what? He's he's so funny, and I greatly again appreciate the kind words, Eric, and appreciate you coming on. Again, you can follow Eric at GIS Hammer, and please follow his two podcasts on Twitter at Guys in Shorts LA and at Galaxy Podcast. If you get a chance, shoot Eric a message, let him know that you enjoyed him on the program. And show him some love, because he mentioned it in the interview at the end. Portuguese people, we have a great way of being able to support one another in ventures such as these, and in anything that is done in a real positive way. So if you liked Eric on the podcast, let him know and reach out to him at GIS Hammer. Before we adjourn for the episode, one thing I wanted to get you guys on for social media, get you guys going here, is, you know, you've seen the Nonsense 23-man roster. Obviously, it's nothing is a finalized roster at this point, but I mentioned it to Eric, and I'll mention it to you guys. I want to hear from you guys. Who do you think should have been called up that didn't? Of those who have been called up, who do you think maybe shouldn't have in this situation? And who are you guys definitely happy to see get their shot here and try to get their Selesong career started here? So definitely want to hear from you guys on our social media. Again, facebook.com/SelesongPod and on Twitter and Instagram at SelesongPod. And of course, you can always email us on our Gmail account, SelesongPod@gmail.com. That will do it for us on episode 11 of the Selesong Podcast. Thank you guys very much for joining us again. Appreciate everybody's support, especially during our little hiatus. But we are back, baby, and we're loving every minute of it. My name is Danny Pinto. I have been your host. Thank you so much for listening, and Força Portugal!